This is What's at Risk on WBZ News Radio 1030 and WBZ.com with Mike Christian of Risk Strategies Company.
Hi, I'm Mike Christian, and welcome back to an all-new edition of What's at Risk. We're interested in what you're thinking about. Send us an email at whatsatrisk@risk-strategies.com and let us know what's on your mind. Tonight on What's at Risk, we explore bouncing back from adversity with our two very special guests. In segment one, we discuss well-known business leaders who suffered a very public fall from the pinnacle of their careers. Our guest in segment one is Andrea Redman, co-author of Comebacks. Then, in segment two, we talk with Scott Singer about how to deal with life's unexpected setbacks and about his new book, How to Hit a Curveball.
I've been gone, so come back.
You want to be a success, you seek it out, you announce it, and you celebrate it. But when you fail, you don't want anyone to know about it. Or more accurately, when it goes public and as circumstances unravel, it's human nature to wish it would magically go away, be buried, and forgotten. But you know it's still there, no matter how diligently you sweep it under the rug, and it makes you wince in emotional pain when all you want to do is forget it. In life, no one gets off this planet unscathed. Whether personal or professional, setbacks will happen. How well someone makes a comeback, however, depends upon several factors, from resilience to defining success according to your terms. The good news is that these qualities and skills can be acquired and learned, and with a support system, become even more effective. In today's world, awareness of professional setbacks, the loss of a job, whether due to layoffs or being fired or asked to resign, is increasing. From high-profile executives losing their jobs to layoffs and job loss for all levels of workers. It doesn't matter whether you work in a small company, large corporation, on a factory line, or in the corner office. Leaving a job not of your own accord is one of the most difficult challenges most people face. Comebacks, powerful lessons from leaders who endured setbacks and recaptured success on their terms, by Andrea Redman, profiles 10 influential business leaders who suffered a public fall from the pinnacle of their careers, often in the midst of extreme media scrutiny. The leaders, many of them CEOs, often endured devastating setbacks to their careers and the emotional upheaval that followed, including feelings of vulnerability, embarrassment, and public humiliation. Through resilience, self-knowledge, inner strength, and relying on close family and associates, each was able to bounce back and move on. Although the comeback process was unique to each individual, there are similarities in their experiences. Taking a step back to process what had occurred, being deliberate as they moved forward, and using leadership and lessons learned to add value in a different context, often one in which a person has more control over outcome and real-life choices. Regardless of where they ended up, these leaders show that a real act two in life is possible. Some of the leaders profiled in comebacks include Jamie Dimon, who was at a peak of his career with Citigroup when he was fired as president and is now the renowned CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase. Former Hewlett-Packard chair Patricia Dunn, who was forced to resign and then was indicted for corporate espionage charges, all the while battling cancer, but was exonerated from any wrongdoing and now is active in philanthropic work.
I must try to see it through until the day is won, but it's a hard lesson to learn.
Hard ways to get by.
Oh, it's a hard lesson to learn.
And former founder and CEO of JetBlue, David Neeleman, who, asked to step down after a series of weather-related delays in 2007 caused an uproar among passengers and consumers, has moved on to found a new airline in Brazil.
It's a hard lesson to learn, not me. Oh, it had to be a hard lesson to learn.
Andrea Redman is a well-regarded consultant who works with select clients, including corporate boards, CEOs, and private investors, on executive recruiting, management assessment, and succession needs. Prior to that, she spent 20 years with a global executive recruiting firm. As an expert in CEO selection, she recruited CEOs for several Fortune 500 companies. Ms. Redman joined the board of directors of Allstate Corporation in January 2010. She also serves on the board of directors of Children's Memorial Hospital, Northwestern University Hospital, and the Robert H. Lurie Cancer Center.
We are here tonight with Andrea Redman, the author of Comebacks, Powerful Lessons from Leaders Who Endured Setbacks and Recaptured Success on Their Terms. So, Andrea, in talking to these 10 leaders that you profiled in your book, were they often surprised by their sudden fall from the pinnacle?
Most every one of them was surprised.
Yeah, that's interesting. So they never saw it coming.
They knew they were struggling. They knew that the companies were struggling in most cases, but they certainly did not know that their job was at risk and that they were going to get fired or the rug pulled out from underneath them, which is frankly too bad. They used phrases like they felt, well, one said it felt like a death, like they were sucker punched. That implies that they were very surprised.
Well, there was probably a big lesson just in that, right? In terms of paying attention to what's going on.
Well, yeah. It's a complicated relationship between boards and CEOs.
Now, how did you get such access? Why do you think they were all so candid with you?
That's a good question, Mike. Well, I spent almost 25 years now in the consulting business and the executive search business, and I was with a large executive search firm, global firm, for 20 years, and for many of those years co-led a practice where I focused on exclusively recruiting CEOs to large-cap companies primarily and board members for public companies. So these were people that I knew, had worked with, knew of, had contact with. So I was sort of working in the same circle as they were. I talked to people that were kind of beyond the pain. So I didn't include anybody in the book that had just lost their job, because that's not what the book is about. The book is really about what they went through when they got the rug pulled out from underneath them, how they handled it, and what they went on to do, and how they might have redefined what success meant for them. So it's really about lessons learned. So if I were to talk to somebody who had just lost their job, unlikely that they would have processed all that.
Right.
Might have not been too many lessons to learn right now because they were in that stage. When anybody loses a job, I mean, there's lots of commonalities here. When anybody loses a job, you know, you're pretty devastated and pretty directionless. So if I would have talked to them at that point, it wouldn't have been helpful.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have had the right perspective then.
Right.
Do you think it was a little cathartic for them to go through the whole process with you and talk about it?
Yes, I do. Yeah, each interview was often, they weren't all this way, but often we spent 4 hours with them. I think it was. I think when anybody listens to you and wants to know your story and your innermost feelings, and you choose to sit down and take the time to reflect, I think it is cathartic. But I think that all these people had gone through quite a good deal of self-reflection. I think that's part of the process that all of us go through when we go through any kind of setback, that process of self-reflection of, you know, what's changed for me? What are my values? What's important to me? What might I want the second half of my life to look like? What brings purpose and meaning?
And what were some, maybe just a couple of the more interesting stories to you? You have 10 leaders here and some pretty famous ones, Jamie Dimon and David Neeleman from JetBlue and Patricia Dunn. What were a couple of them? Just maybe just give some tidbits for the listeners.
Yeah, David Neeleman's story is a particularly interesting one. He was actually born in Brazil. He is from he is a Mormon, as is his family, so he spent his first couple of years in Brazil, then came back to this country, clearly an entrepreneur and a serial entrepreneur. I mean, he started and sold many companies and really founded JetBlue on the whole idea that, you know, it's all about how you treat people, how you treat your employees, and how you treat passengers. Of course, then they ran into that horrific snowstorm where JetBlue suffered a great deal. He apologized, was the first person to come up with a passenger bill of rights, but ultimately the board ended up firing him from the company that he founded, and he was totally devastated. But he very quickly had an idea to start another airline in Brazil, which he has, Azul Airline, and it's doing very, very well. But he had a lot of lessons that he shared, and one was, you know, never sell your dream. Another lesson was, you know, if you're really down on the dumps, the most important thing is to get your focus off yourself.
Yeah.
Get doing something for others. Otherwise, you go into this deep hole of depression. But each of them had a number of lessons that they learned and different lessons, but I thought David's story was particularly poignant. Now, he did go back and do kind of the same thing in terms of running a company, but another story, probably my favorite one actually, is a guy who's not as well known, but his name is Dale Dawson, and he was very successful with an investment bank, a family, the Stevens family in Little Rock, Arkansas. A very successful bank. They took Walmart public, a number of those. And he went on to run a auto parts company, Truck Pro, sold the company. He was the one example that he didn't really get the rug pulled out from underneath him. He pulled his own rug, as we often do. He decided to sell that company. It wasn't a huge company, but he sold it. And he found himself totally, for the first time in his life, without passion. Did not know where to go, what to do, and ultimately decided that he really needed to have in his life more meaning, a life that mattered more to him, that he was doing something for others as opposed to just himself and the goal of making money. And he does incredible things in Rwanda today for the government of Rwanda. He works very closely with Paul Kagame, the president of Rwanda, starting schools and businesses, started a bank there. If you look on the website, Bridge to Rwanda, you'll see what Dale does. Did a complete about face. Others are doing some pretty interesting things in philanthropy, too. So not everybody went back and did the same thing. Again, that whole idea of redefining what success meant for them as a result of the experience with most of them did get fired.
Yeah, it seems like more often than not, they redirected themselves and didn't go back. You know, Jamie Dimon being an extreme example of that.
Yeah,
David Neeleman and Jamie went back
and did the same thing. But a lot of you're absolutely right. That's why you kind of wanted to get at the lessons learned. There was a guy by the name of Harry Kramer that we spoke to, had been the chairman and CEO of Baxter, worked for the company all his life. They started to have some earnings problems and some other issues, and he was fired by the board. And he took some time off. He is a partner and advisor to a private equity firm, but he also teaches at Northwestern University, and he teaches values-based leadership.
How does our mind really work? Another in a series of 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 timely educational features. Today, let's talk about how the mind works in Minnesota.
Oh, 47 below. The wind like a knife. The snowdrifts are so deep. Blizzard. Can't see. Miles from home. Lost. What a challenge. I feel so happy.
Yes, for some reason, adversity gives us a sense of pleasure and fulfillment that we miss when everything is perfect.
6 straight days of meatloaf and string beans. My stomach feels like a cement block.
It's winter. I'm exhausted and depressed. 5 kids with runny noses tearing around this dump all day, and you expect cuisine?
Oh, I've never felt so achingly miserable. I'm haunted by guilt from a repressive upbringing, filled with a sense of utter personal inadequacy. My life is lost. It's without meaning or value. And now, to get meatloaf and string beans on top of it? I don't know.
You're so sensual when you get depressed.
I love you, Janice.
Oh, Larry. Oh,
you're all I got. It's so good to hold you.
For no reason at all, I feel ecstatically happy.
It's a true story, and you know it's true. Bad times make you feel good and vice versa. Just be careful. And when things get too good, look out.
And you can't always get what you want. No, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you can. You can get what you need. You can get what you need.
We're back with Andrea Redman, co-author of Comebacks.
You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometime, you might find you can get what you really, 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 really.
Is there a common thread to how each of these leaders dealt with failure and coming back from it?
There were certainly common themes. Certainly they all, you know, faced adversity and were forced to deal with the pain and the directionless. Most all of them did take off time to step back, to go through that process of self-reflection. They all really relied on people around them. Relationships and intimate relationships were very important, friends, family, allies. They all certainly developed or showed resilience. Clearly, all of them were resilient. And they all were able to see that in Act 2, was possible. After time, after a period of time, they began to have a vision for what they wanted the rest of their life to look like.
Yeah, well, they clearly all have very strong egos and strong personalities, or they wouldn't have gotten to the heights of their professions in the first place, right?
That's true. They all achieved, you know, greatness in each of their own fields of business, but, you know, it's a long way up to get up there, but it's also a big fall. Most of us who lose jobs don't have that kind of public humiliation.
Do you think they're all at peace with where they're at today? Do they still harbor a little resentment about what happened, or can they just put that aside but still feel like they were treated unfairly?
I wouldn't call it resentment, but David Neeleman, Chris Galvin, there were a number of them were you know, very honest that it still hurt. It still smarted.
So they embraced it, they recognized it for what it was, and just moved on, and even if they didn't agree with what happened, they reconciled
right.
it in some way.
Right, so, right. They'd come right. to terms with it.
Right.
They'd come to terms with it, but the pain of it had not necessarily gone away for all of them. For some of them, I think they clearly had found peace with it. Dirk Yeager, who'd been the chairman CEO of Procter & Gamble, again, spent 30 years with that company. I was very struck when he said, you know, I did my best. That's all I could do was my best, and I know I did that.
And do you think Jamie Dimon wanted to go back and reprove himself at the spot that he failed at? And that's what drove him to really replicate a different company, but really replicate the same path he had before?
No, I don't think that was what motivated him. He definitely took time off. And he talked a lot about, and of course, the difference is here, all these people have got the financial wherewithal to be able to do that. But he talked about really trying on a number of different opportunities when he was considering what to do next. And he talked about sort of visualizing what it would feel like to get up in the morning and go do this. And he considered all sorts of different opportunities. Certainly not to go, you know, going back into financial services was not the only thing that he considered. But at the end of the day, he ended up doing that because he really felt that, you know, that's what he knew the best, that's where he was more comfortable, and that's where he could add more value. And that's an important lesson that came out here also, and I think that really everybody needs to understand is, you know, whatever skills and abilities and talents you have at a certain point in your life, when you're in a job, you get to take those with you. And, you know, Jamie surely realized that while he did get fired by his mentor and fired from sort of the only organization and person that he'd worked with his entire career, he still had skills, abilities, talents that he was going to take with him in the next challenge that he accepted.
Yeah, and that's an important lesson for all of us. Anything else that our listeners here can take from this book as far as lessons?
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole idea of you get to take it, you know, with you is important. And also the concept is that another lesson, I think, is you are not your job. And all of these people had to face that. And I think listeners, anybody who's lost a job, and even if you have a job, it's good to remind yourself that you are not your job. To be completely wrapped up in that is the definition of the person who you are is pretty flawed. And in fact, Jamie said that. Because otherwise, you lose your whole self-worth here. So you can't have that completely define you. And by the way, you know, the doctor, the lawyer, the CEO, the pharmacist, everybody that you know out there, they aren't just their job either. I think, you know, another thing for listeners is to take time to reflect, because while your values might not change, your priorities might change. And, you know, don't underestimate the support that you get from your friends and families and allies. That's another very, very important piece. And as you reassess what success looks like for you, keep in mind, you know, finding your passion in that next act too is really important.
Yeah, that's all great advice. The name of the book is Comebacks. Andrea, is there a place where we can find out more about it?
You can certainly check. There's a website on the book. If you go to Amazon.com and punch in Comebacks, my name, type it in, all that information will come up for you.
Always look on the bright side.
What you got to lose? You know, you come from nothing, you're going back to nothing. What you lost? Nothing!
Time for a CBS News update. We'll be right back with more What's at Risk.
We'll come from nothing, you know, nice time.